That's another reason why we need next door, because they're getting tight. Anyway, let me just pray for a second, just draw our hearts just for a moment. Lord, I thank you for everybody who's here today. Lord, I thank you that, again, Lord, we just need to really give you praise, Lord, for every heart and for every life. Lord, I thank you for the kids downstairs. Thank you for the teens next door, Lord. And I just thank you for every person that's here today. Lord, I thank you that you're drawing people to yourself, Lord. And when you do that, you always encourage, you always lift up, you always set free, you always save, Lord. You always convict, Lord. You always do something in our hearts and lives. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray this morning you would set us on fire, Lord, if that's what we need, Lord. In fact, that's what we all need. But Lord, just whatever moments, whatever places we're at, Lord, Holy Spirit, will you come and just touch us, enable us, and help us in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So great to see everybody today. Glad to see you. And I just, you know, I was praying this week and just talking to God and just hearing his heart. And you know, I just felt like God was saying, you know, just be mindful that we can come here and we can just come and be like passing ships in the night and call to being pure and holy. And I felt like God, this was something God was really just stirring in my heart this week, and even this last few weeks, but I hadn't just put it together until this week. Called to be pure and holy. Imagine that. That's what God's calling us to be. And I know in our context today and in our world, I sometimes wonder to myself, is it possible to be pure and holy? Because it feels like the world is just, it's more crazier than ever. TV programs are more crazier. You get away with things more in movies. It's just everything's different. Life is different. School is different. It's like a war out there in some ways. And yet, God's word never changes, and his word says from the beginning, he's called us to be pure and holy. And so this morning, I want us to look at that, and hopefully it's going to be a word that's going to encourage us. But I want us to think for a moment, what does purity mean? And it maybe strikes lots of different ideas in your mind, lots of different thoughts. But when we really get down to it from the word, what purity means is this. It's like water. An adjective would be like water or like the Holy Spirit. Something that's just pure. It's pure water. It is what it is. Or another way to say it is, it's not mixed with anything else. And surely that's what God's called each and every one of us to be, is that we're people that are pure in God, pure in heart. That we're people that are pure in God, that we're not mixed this way and that way, that we're not trying to put lots of different things in to fill the void or to make us feel happy, but we've decided I've built my life on his love like we sang this morning. And that is all I need. And so I will not be diluted or mixed with anything else. And that's essentially what God's saying is when he says to come and be pure and holy. This is what it says in Psalm 51:10. We're going to put it in the screen in just a moment. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a pure heart. This is David crying out in the Old Testament. He's saying, create in me a pure heart, God. So he's referring to his heart, and our heart is the thing that gets saved. Our heart is the thing that gets transformed. When we come to Jesus, he transforms our whole life, but he transforms our heart from darkness to light, from stoniness, from deadness to life in him, to light, full of his love, full of his grace. And this morning, God's calling each and every one of us as believers of him that we would live pure lives. And so it's not necessarily about what we do, and that is important. Of course it is, but it's who we are. We are undiluted. We are not mixed with anything else. God doesn't need to mix us with something else. God doesn't need to add anything else in from outside of him. He is all we need. And so this morning, when we talk about being pure and holy, we're saying, God, you're all that I need. Holiness, if you think about holiness, it's this. It's being set apart, separated. Again, very close to purity. It's being set apart. And God has called each and every one of us to be set apart. That is his number one goal, is that we would be set apart. Why? Because not because he wants to hold us back from those other things that are actually really, really good, although sometimes it can feel like that, but because he knows that there's nothing outside of him that's worth anything. There's nothing outside of him that has any value. In fact, the things that are going to try to come into our lives that are going to prevent us from being separated are the very things that's going to try to hold us. The very things that's going to try to hold us back. But when we're with God, anything is possible. We're going to look at some verses this morning to let you see that in your life, you may think that a call to purity and holiness sounds like a bit of a, I just love to live my way. I just love to live whatever way I want to live. Just want to go the place I want to go. Just want to talk the way I want to talk. Just want to act the way I want to act. But God's saying this morning, I've actually created in you a purity that says you don't need anything else. That is incredible. I don't need mixed with anything else to feel strong. God is all I need. In fact, God has called inside of us a holiness that says, you don't need anybody else. All you need is me. And when I look at my life, and maybe you want to look at your own life in a few moments or over these next few moments, I know I start to get in trouble when I start to doubt God's faithfulness, when I start to doubt God's goodness, and I start to think to myself, maybe I need something else in my life. Maybe I need, direction's not working out for me, so I'm going to have to figure this out on my own. That's a kind of natural thing that rises up inside of us. And yet God says, I've created you pure and holy. Not just a state, but a reality. Not just something that we say to hold you back, but a truth that's actually going to lead you into more freedom. Because when you're undiluted, there's no more freer state than that. Another way to describe being pure is just free from. You know, we're obsessed at the moment with free from foods. It's like free from sugar, free from this, free from that. We're trying to get to a wholeness. We're trying to get to a purity in our foods. And God says this morning, when you come to me, do you know what I want to do with you? I don't want to take your brokenness and kind of bandage you up and just make you a tiny bit better. I want to make you brand new so that you don't need anything else, so that you feel whole and complete in me. And so this morning, what really God's calling us to is a holiness, a completeness, just a wholeness in him so that we don't need anything else and that he fully satisfies and that we're rid of fear, rid of all those negative things that try to ensnare us, and that we can stand firm in that firm foundation of love and say, he is all that I need. Amen? So that's what we're going to continue to look at this morning. Jesus is all we need. He is who we need. It's who we're in. Here's the good news about holiness and purity. Of course, it's part of our journey. It's part of me. I want to walk with God, and I'm going to try every day to walk in holiness. I'm going to try every day to walk in purity. But if it's only ever trying, I'll never make it. Because I tried to be good one time. It was no good. I couldn't do it. I tried to get up on time one day. I couldn't do it. I tried to go through one day without sinning. I couldn't do it. Now, my desire is to do that. My heart is to do that. That's where I'm heading to. But I know alone in my strength, I can't do it. That's why Jesus came. And so I don't want us to fall into a trap of being legalistic and I'm going to write 10 different rules that's going to keep me pure and holy in my life. That will never, ever work. And if it does, tell somebody else because it's sure to break. So you better get the good news out fast because it's going to fall apart. It will never, ever work. 10 steps to happiness, 10 steps to this. I mean, it's great and it will help us and it will guide us, but it's got to be rooted in Christ. It's got to be in the reality of, I know who I am in Jesus, and because of that, I actually am pure. I actually am holy. And so I'd love my actions to align with that, and that's my heart's desire. And through his strength, I'm going to aim for that. And so my job is to try to aim for that, but I can't do it in my entirety. I can't do it in my strength. But in fact, I can do all things in his strength. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're already starting to feel a bit condemned. You're already starting to think, wow, has he seen my heart? Does he know what I've been doing? Does he know the ways I've been thinking? No, but God does. And he says, I've called you to purity and I've called you to holiness and I've given you everything you need for that. Just try to walk with me. And as you walk with me, watch what's going to happen. Listen to a thing this week I thought was really powerful about reading the Bible. Something that all of us at times can struggle with. If we're really honest, it can be one of those things. I can listen to worship easier. I can pray maybe easier. But reading sometimes can be difficult. And yet we know that reading the word is the living word of God. It transforms everything. It cuts through things that nobody else can cut through because it's so alive. And I was listening to Bill Johnson from Bethel, and he shared this really interesting thing, and it made a lot of sense. He's longer in the road than me, and he shares part of his wisdom, and I thought it was godly wisdom. He says, it's funny, whenever you're hungry, you know you're hungry, and so you go to eat. It's kind of a natural thing when it comes to food. But he says, with the word, it's a different kind of thing. You don't normally feel hungry for the word, but he says, normally when you get into the word and you start to read it, when you start to eat it, suddenly you realize, wow, I'm hungry for more. I want more of this. I want more of this. I want more of this. And God's here this morning, he's saying, hey, you might be in an early part of your journey in terms of trying to live for God and go for God, but if you would plug in there and start to feast on him and start to spend time with him, suddenly your passion will grow, your awareness will grow, your hunger for him will grow, and you'll just start to devour things on a different level. So I want to encourage you this morning, reading this word is not always easy, but as we get into it, suddenly we're like, wow, I want more, I want more, I want more, because it satisfies and it's giving me words of life and it's encouraging me. Amen? So this morning, purity and holiness. We were created to change the world. I want to start off with this. We're going to read a story in just a moment. We were created to change the world, and it's the simple reason why God made us pure and holy. Because he wanted us to know outside of him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do all things. And maybe you're here this morning and already thinking, we can change the world? Well, that might be for somebody else, but it's not for me. But maybe it's because we've stepped into that undiluted state. Maybe it's because we've stepped into that not set apart state. We're closer to everything else instead of being separated with God and away with him. Because I tell you this, when I'm with God, I feel like I can do anything. I feel like I can do anything. I feel like I can chip away at those mountains and they will come down. But when I get further from him, I start to wonder, am I even saved? Is God even real? And I want to encourage us with real truth this morning. That's how we feel a lot of the times. That's the places that we get to. But God's saying, don't try to walk on this journey alone. Walk with me. Aim in the right direction. Walk with me, but allow me to help you. Allow me to sustain you. Allow me to uphold you. You were made to change the world. Everything outside of that wants to tell you we're not. But God created each and every one of us to change the world. Why? Because he's a world creator. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. This is how good our God is. And he says, I've made you in my image. So therefore, we were made to create things. We were made to change things. We were made to break through. It says in the early part of Genesis, right at the beginning, that man was made to have dominion over the whole earth. To take dominion over it, which means to take authority. To be like God on earth as he is in the universe. To be like Christ. To be like God. And of course, then sin came. And what did it try to do? It tried to rob us of that relationship. What did it try to do? It tried to rob us of our purity. It tried to rob us of our holiness. It tried to rob us of, and wanted to mix with other things. So we would need to do this and we'd need to do that to get clean. We'd need to kill dead animals to try to get clean. We'd have to do all these different things, all these different hoops. We'd have to make all these other jumps to try and get back into God's presence. And then Jesus came and he restored everything this morning. And that is good news. And what did he bring us back to? World changers, revivalists, people that were going to change things, people that were going to change nations. We were praying on Tuesday night. I encourage you to come pray with us again. We were praying on Tuesday night. We were praying this week at 7:30. And we were praying. And we were saying, God, make us revivalists. Say, make us world changers. And I'll be honest, in my heart at the very beginning, I thought to myself, oh, come on, this is a good prayer, but not really feeling it. Not just feeling it. And then I told myself off because I'm like, I am the person that is going to be a revivalist. This is who I am. I look in the mirror and I say, you are going to do great things for God because God has done great things in you. And I preach that to myself because I know who I am in Christ and I want my mind to catch up with the reality of it. And it's not because of ego, it's because of it's a great truth. I am pure and I'm holy. And as a result, I destroy the works of the enemy. And this is what God's called us to do. And what I've seen in my life is that what the enemy's constantly trying to do is pull us away from that, distract us from that, get us to a place where we just kind of, oh, that's good. We kind of laugh at that. Because if I get to that place, then I don't feel like I can change anything. I don't even feel like it can do anything to me or change anything in anyone around me. But when God's in me, suddenly I feel like I can do incredible things for the kingdom of God. We were praying on Tuesday night, we said this. Imagine we could be sitting in Armagh thinking, oh, God could never break revival out here. And then there's somebody in the middle of Africa thinking exactly the same thing. Somebody in China thinking exactly the same thing. Somebody in America thinking exactly the same thing. I mean, before revival breaks, we've never heard of the place. All the different places where revival broke out, we've never heard of them before this. Has anybody heard of Armagh on the world stage? Nobody. Has God heard of it? Absolutely. Absolutely. And could it be like a lie from the enemy to come and deceive and distract and pull us away from our call of being world changers and doing incredible things in the world that the enemy would whisper and share stories and have billboards up and everything else to try to distract us, movies, music, anything to try to pull us away from our destiny in God and get us to a place where the children of God would actually say, oh no, God could never use me. Wow. That is an incredible, incredible thing. God says, absolutely, I will use you. And so maybe you're here this morning thinking, wow, I don't know if God could. I want to tell you, God is better than you. He is bigger than you, and he has already said so. He's going to use you. It's just a question of whether we're going to hand our lives over to him. Will we build our lives on that? The world is out to distract. The Lord is out for us to do incredible things for the kingdom of God. I want us to read a story this morning to encourage our hearts. This is what it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 32. If you've got your Bibles, you can look it up on your phone or on the pages, whatever you have, or on the screen. It says this, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Ananias, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Ananias, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat. Immediately Ananias got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Wow. Here's a guy just walking out, just going out, meets this paralyzed person, says, God, you're going to do this. Jesus is going to heal you today. He asks him to roll up his mat. Let's go. It's time to go. Simple, outrageous, alive faith. This all is what's inside of us. This is who God says we are. People that can go out. Think who Peter was. Peter was the guy who always put his foot in it in the Gospels. Jesus picked like the lowest of the low kind of people to come follow him. So Peter's a nobody. And here he is in Acts chapter 9 after the Holy Spirit's been poured out in Acts chapter 1. And he's doing incredible things for the kingdom of God. He's speaking to paralyzed men and they're just being healed in Jesus' name. And then he goes on in verse 36, and then it says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In the Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping people and the poor. She's a good person. She's doing great things. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Who is this guy, Peter? Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and the other clothes that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Listen to this for a moment. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet, and then he called in the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Wow. Just too many stories from the middle of Acts, and lives have been changed. Not just one person's life, not just two people's lives, but multiple people's lives. Families have been changed forever because someone stood up and actually believed, wow, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow, could we believe that this morning? And if you remember back to Mark chapter 5, this is just a complete copy of what Jesus has already done. Here is Peter doing what he'd already seen Jesus do. And God's here this morning. He's saying, I want you just to continue to do what you've seen me do. I want you to believe for incredible things. I want you to pray in ways that I have prayed. I want you to pray believing without doubt. I tell you, one of the things that holds us back the most is when we go to pray sometimes, we go to pray with reason instead of praying with faith. We go to pray with reason. We say, God, you could probably do it like this, and you could do it like that. And we pray a big, long prayer in the hope that it might strengthen our faith, that we might believe at the end of it. And Jesus says, stop trying to reason it out. Just pray in faith. Jesus, you can do all things. Amen. That is an incredible prayer. That is an incredible prayer. Now, I love the long prayers because maybe it's doing something in your heart, but God doesn't need a long prayer. He doesn't. It's just, be healed in Jesus' name. It's gone. It's just gone. Because the Holy Spirit just cannot wait to move. The Holy Spirit cannot wait. It's God's delight to move through his people. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. You don't have to reason it out. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to say, Jesus, I believe. And the Lord comes and does incredible things. And God is here this morning, and he's here to do incredible things. But you'll note in the story that there was a few different types of believers. There was those that wanted Peter to come. They had the faith to believe for it. But when Peter got there, Peter said, you've got to leave the room because you don't have the faith for it actually to come to pass. And I think there's a lot of us here this morning that have the faith to believe for it. But for whatever reasons, we've looked in the mirror and we said, but I'm not like Peter. I'm not like Jesus. I couldn't be a person like that. And so we've talked ourselves out of being a person that could actually bring breakthrough. And so we call somebody else instead. And the problem is, if we're calling everybody else instead, they might be too far away at times. We may not be able to get them at times. We may not be able to get through to them at times. But maybe we've got to look in the mirror and go, you know what? I may not like what I see, but Jesus says I am incredible. And I've got to realize that there's something different in me because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And so as a result, I'm ready to step up because God's called me to purity. He's called me to holiness. God's called me to be a person that's separated for him. God's called me to be a person that will not be mixed with anybody else. God's called me a person that will bring heaven to earth and to see the captive set free. God has caused me to be a person that's going to see victory in every way of my life. This is who we are in Christ. Is anybody here today? Come on, God wants to stir your heart and he wants to encourage you today. He wants to remind you, this is who you are. Peter looked back and he remembered the story of Jesus. When Jesus goes to Jairus' daughter, he was too late. He gets to the upper room. Jesus is in the same position. The daughter is already dead. Everybody says she's dead. What does Jesus say? She's just sleeping. Because in faith, you can see things differently. In faith, things are not always what they seem. And without faith, we have zero money. In faith, we see all the money. Now we're 40% of the way there. That's what faith does. It moves mountains. It does incredible things. It transforms situations. And maybe you're here today and you're still thinking, well, that sounds all right, but I'm in the real world. I'm in the real world. Jesus was in the real world. Trust me. He was able to do incredible things. So do not feel condemned today, but maybe feel uplifted. Maybe the Lord wants to lift you up and he say, hey, you're here to do incredible things for me. Peter looked back and he remembered what Jesus had done. He says, if Jesus can do it, I can do it because he said, I'm going to do greater things. And that's all it is. It's by faith we receive all things. By faith we step out in all things. By faith we are saved. By faith we step out for God. By faith we see people healed and set free. God is here this morning. He wants to do that in us. Peter wasn't any better than anybody else. I want you to know that this morning. He wasn't perfect. He had done crazy, silly things. If we had time, we'd look through loads of verses to see. He cut people's ears off. He got in the way of Jesus. He did try to distract him one time. He says, "No, get thee behind me, Satan." He got in his way, all sorts of things. When he came to the cross, he denied Jesus three times. He messed it up in so many different ways. And I think all of that is not there for his benefit, but maybe it's definitely there for our benefit today. We can look back and go, wow, if God could use Peter, he can definitely use me. If God can use Saul and convert him to Paul, then he can definitely use me. What am I living for? What am I dreaming for? What have I been distracted from? Maybe that's the biggest question we need to ask ourselves this morning. If we feel that we're so far away from living a life like this, what has distracted me so far away from that? What needs to get out of my life? What needs to change? Because God's called me to purity and holiness. A person that's going to change things. A person that's going to do great things for God. I think there was an encounter in Peter's life that dramatically changed him forever. I think there's encounters in our lives that God wants to set up and wants to do in our lives that will dramatically change us forever. Salvation to save us. But maybe then there's encounters that come along the way. If as we are changing and if we're going through the process of changing our lives, Peter came to a moment on a day whenever the storms were raging. And then he's afraid and he doesn't know what to do. And Jesus comes to him and then he says, "Jesus, if that's really you, call me to walk in the water." Now, we remember that story, and we remember how Peter failed. But I think that was a day in Peter's life, without exaggerating too far and without dreaming too much, that maybe quite possibly changed him forever. Because as he looked in Jesus' eyes, what did he see? He saw fierce love. He saw incredible love. He saw a man that saw right through him and loved him for who he was and said, "Come to me." And as a result, everything changed. As a result, he was able to walk on water. I think in those moments, what Peter was doing the rest of his life was saying to himself, "Remember the boat, remember the boat, remember the boat." I think that's what he was doing. When he gets to the situation where he's got to heal someone who's dead, he's thinking to himself, "Remember the boat, keep stepping out. Remember when I stepped out and I fixed my eyes in Christ and things changed. People were saved, things happened. I walked on water. I was able to do the impossible." And this morning, if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we will walk like never before. We will dream like never before. We will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think because God is for us. And so maybe you're here this morning, you're feeling down, you're feeling low, you're feeling battered, bruised. God says, keep your eyes fixed on me and watch how you're going to make a difference in people's lives. Third thing this morning was that seasons come and seasons change all the time. And so in this moment, there may be your eyes are fixed like Peter on the water and everything's good. And then there comes another moment where the storms come and then you're wondering, where is Jesus in this? I want to encourage you again, you have been made pure. You have been made holy. You don't need any substitutes. You don't need anything else, only him. And in those moments, so many of us get pulled and get swayed and get pulled away from a life of God. We get pulled away so far from that world of, I'm going to change the world. I'm a revivalist. I'm going to do great things for God. I want to encourage you in this. You don't need to be perfect to be a revivalist. You just need Jesus. You don't need to be whole in the sense of in your life and all have everything in order to go hard after God and see great things done. You are whole in Christ because of what he's done in your life. And of course, he'll work through your issues and he will go through your pain, but all of those things he'll turn around for good and you'll become stronger and stronger and stronger. Do not be distracted and do not let the enemy steal away your joy or pull you away from your first love or pull you away from who you are in God, because that is your identity and that is your hope and that is your life source. God is here this morning. He wants to call you back. He wants to remind you. He wants to encourage you. Jim Cimbala, a great guy from New York, great pastor, he says this, so important. The hardest part of faith is often the wait. The hardest part of faith is often the wait. Think about that for just a moment. When everything's going, when everything's flowing, when everything's moving, it's all good. I'm just working through it. Everything's going well for me. But when the wait comes, that's when I struggle. That's sometimes when I really struggle to keep my faith going, in the waiting. We sing that, take courage in the waiting. He's in the waiting. God is here this morning. He sees your wait. He sees your pain. He sees the process. And he has plans. He has purposes. And he has never left. He has never left. You know, it's so important that we know that God's there in the good and he's there in the bad. In fact, I need him so much more in the bad. Because a lot of times in the good, I just cruise. I'm just at high altitude. I'm just cruising. But in the valleys, that's where I need him. And it's in those valleys, I want to encourage you this, it's in those valleys, not only will God do the deepest work in you, but it's in those valleys where I think we become more real with ourselves and we actually become a benefit to people greater than ever before. Simply because we know our fragility, we know how weak we are, we know how tough life is, and we cry out to God and say, God, I don't know why you've presented this person before me. I don't know why in my workplace I'm the only one here that's a Christian because I'm going through the deepest, darkest path of my life, but for some reason I'm here, so God help me. And we pray prayers like that, and suddenly everything changes, and everything goes right. Why is it whenever we read stories of Peter and we read stories of Paul that we have an assumption that says that their life must have been perfect at that time? Could it have been that they're going through the greatest trials of their life, but they're trusting God like never before? Could it be that they're going through the greatest tribulations of their life, but they're trusting God like never before? I mean, every time that Paul went to, they wanted to beat him. They chucked him out of it. They would throw him out and he would go right back in again. Beaten, bruised, battered. He'd just keep going back again. Why is it sometimes that when we read the word, we go to it and we say, oh, Peter must have been Superman at that stage because he had to be. Peter must have been doing great things at that stage because he had to be. But could it have been that he was going through a battle and a trial, and yet he was just trusting in God all the more because he was saying, God, you've given me this life. You've presented these people before me. Surely you must be here. Surely there must be a reason for that. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're going through the toughest season. I have faith that God wants to use you in that tough season. I have faith that God wants to do incredible things in your life in that season. Maybe you're here and you're feeling broken. Maybe you're here this morning, you're feeling, I've got no answers, I've got no direction, I'm feeling hurt, I just want to give up. Trust me, God knows all of your pain, and he's got a plan in that. He's got purpose in that. God is here this morning. We have two choices in all of that. We start to compromise, we start to get complacent, we start to complain, we start to do all of those things. But I want us to be assured, and I want us to be confident this morning. We're going through those trials, and we're going through those battles. God is with you. Just keep waiting. Keep waiting in faith. It came, I think it was in Luke 22, when it came to Peter and it said, Peter, the enemy comes and he wants to sift you like wheat, but I'm going to pray that your faith will be strong. I'm pretty sure that's what Jesus said. I'm going to pray that your faith will be strong because I know you physically are going to feel weak. I know physically you are going to go through the mire. I know physically you're going to want to give up, but I'm going to pray that your faith will be strong. Imagine that. Jesus prayed that his faith would be strong. And I want to pray this morning that your faith would be strong. Our faith would be strong even when we're going through trials, even when we're going through pain, even when you're sitting here today and you wish that the ground would just swallow you up maybe, that your faith would be strong. Because if your faith is strong, you will get through. It may be in your hands and knees. It may be crawling. You may be able to walk. I'm not sure. But if your faith is strong, you will make it through. Amen? So we're going to pray for your faith today in just a moment. But your faith will get you through. Comparison is going to kill you. I've seen people compare each other and say, oh, I'm living a better life than him or her, but why is God not using me? It's just going to kill you. I've seen people compare and go, well, why is my life not like this? Because look at the way they're getting through. Or why is this? Or why is that? Don't get lost in the whys. Just get lost in Jesus. He will bring you through. He has strengthened you. He has a day for you, and he's opening the doors at the right time. Compromise is going to kill us. It feels like a small thing, but remember purity. Purity is delicate. Purity, if I have pure water, it only takes me to drop something impure into it. Even the smallest drop will change the whole thing. Even the smallest drop. Do not let go of that. Hold on to your faith in God. Hold on to your purity in God. He has set you apart for good seasons and for good times. Do not be distracted by anything else. He will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He will, he will, he will. Will there be a wait? Most likely. Most likely. But pray for your faith in the waiting that you will come through that with strength. Complacency is another one that wants to kill us. I just don't know if I'm going to pray anymore. Don't know if I'm just going to, you know, if I'm going to deal with that issue anymore. And just, I'll just, you know, all's going to work out for good in the end. It's all going to work out. Don't let complacency fool you. Apathy wants to kill you as well. It wants to distract you from your destiny because you're a world changer. You're a person that's come here to change the world. Jesus has set you free for great things. And not just for you, but to transform the world around you. Here's what I've seen, what it can do in my life. Here's what I've seen it can do in our lives. Whenever we start to drift, whenever we start to waver from Jesus, I start to pray less. Slowly, I start to read less. Slowly, I start to worship less. Slowly, I get to this place of, maybe I'll just skip church today. You know, probably not be a big deal. Nobody's going to miss me anyway. We start to believe lies. We start to believe lies like that. I'm just going to watch YouTube. Probably get more worship out of that. I can pick the songs that I really like then. You know, it's just going to be awesome that way. You know, we were made for relationship, but complacency just wants to rob us. You know, compromise just wants to steal from us. We're pure. We're only for him. There's nobody else. He's jealous for us. There's nobody else for me. I'm undiluted. I don't want to mix with anything else. Only Jesus. He is my wholeness. He is my togetherness. Now, if you've been there, then you know what that feels like. Pray for those around you. Maybe get to a place of, maybe I just leave it for a while. You know what? This Christianity thing's just become too hard. It's just become too difficult. That is a place that you get to when you start off with, I think I'll just leave it this week. I'm going to pray a bit less. I'm going to read a bit less. You get to a place of eventually, this is just too hard for me. It's just too difficult for me. I want to encourage you this morning, stop in those tracks. Allow people to speak into your life. Listen to those who would speak into your life. I give you permission with love, speak into other people's lives if you see that, because that's the recipe for disaster. God has set us apart, and he set us apart to do incredible things for the kingdom. Here's the word, I'm going to finish in just a few moments, that God really popped in my heart this week, was brittle. And I looked it up, and I thought, wow, what am I going to find? Understand the word, but what am I going to find when I look it up? Now, I look a lot of words up just for different things, because I quite enjoy it, just want to see what the definitions are, trying to look it up, what it means biblically, not just what we have tagged onto, but what does it mean biblically? And I like to look it up, and I've looked up a lot of words over the years, but I looked up this one, and it kind of just, it just grabbed me, because it had multiple definitions of the word. And I was like, wow, what is God trying to say in this? And we're going to look at just what brittle means, but I want to think about this for just a moment. God calls us in Revelations. He says, I'd rather be hot or cold, because lukewarm is just a killer. Lukewarm is just a killer. In fact, he goes really far, and he says, I'd rather spit you out of my mouth if it's just lukewarm. I need you to be hot or cold, either going for it or not. And God is with us to make us. God's not saying, I don't want you to go for it. He's just saying, I'm with you, so therefore you can go for it hot. You can go for it. When I think about steel, it's one of the most hardest substances you can get. But when steel becomes weak, it's when it becomes cold. When it becomes cold, all the value, all the strength, all the strongness that's within steel, suddenly it loses all of us, all of that. And when it gets so cold, it loses that and it becomes brittle and suddenly it breaks. And I think in our lives, if we're not careful, if we allow our hotness or our kind of like our intensity, our passion for God to begin to dwindle and begin to drop, suddenly we get to a place of where we're cold and we're brittle. And let me read this morning. I really feel it's going to speak into some people's lives today. First definition, listen to this one, brittle. Hard but liable to break easily. Hard but liable to break easily. You know, so many of us can come to church. I have done this so many times, and I come with a hard exterior. But if you say one thing to me, I'm going to break because I'm going through a tough season. I'm trying not to show anybody because I just want to keep it going for me, but I need people around me. And I want to encourage you today that maybe you've come here and you're feeling brittle and you're hard on the outside. And it's maybe not even hardness. It's just like you're trying to be strong. I'm strong on the outside, but I'm ready to break easily. Church is a place for messy people. Trust me in that. Church is a place for that because families are messy. If everything's perfect, then go on ahead. Everybody just live for themselves. We're all good. We'll all make it. But unfortunately, we're not like that. Families are messy. If you're in a family, then you probably know that. You probably know that families are messy. There's times you want to hit each other. There's times you want to like push each other over. There's times you just want to run away. Families are messy. And church is messy too. And if we come in with this attitude, it's got to be perfect. I don't want to bring anybody down. I hate those words. I don't want to bring anybody down. What? You're going to bring yourself down, which is going to bring us down because we're all one body and we're together in Christ. So those words don't wash. They're actually lies from the enemy that's come to deceive you. I don't want to bring anybody down. You're going to bring yourself down. You're going to bring us down because we're one body. You've got to bring it out. We've got to bring it out. We've got to encourage each other. God is here for us. We're here for each other. What's my role? I got to be honest. I got to be vulnerable at times. Is that scary? Absolutely. But there's nothing worse than living numb. There's nothing worse than living just like, don't even touch me, I'm going to break. And eventually I get to a place of I don't even want to go because I've got to such a stress place where if anybody even looks at me wrong, I'm going to explode. God is here this morning. He says, I can see our hearts from that. Another definition of this, brittleness, easily broken, cracked, or snapped. Easily broken, cracked, or snapped. Think about that in our lives. Are we here today and feeling like that? God doesn't want us to feel like that. He wants to restore us. Are we here today and we're feeling like I could just snap at anything? If I get one more piece of bad news, that's it. I'm just over. I'm just absolutely over. You know what would be better saying? Say that out. Just say that out to some people and get them to pray. I'm seeing some people smile. That's good. Smile is good. Don't keep it all to yourself. Easily broken, cracked, or snapped. Listen to this one. Third definition, easily hurt or offended. We're just going to flip to the other side. Don't you look at me like that. Don't you dare. I'm easily hurt and I'm very easily offended. That is just no way to live. It's no way to live. Because trust me, people are going to push you to your utmost. If you've got kids, you're going to know that. They're going to push you. They're going to push your buttons. And you're either going to go with it or you're going to be a crumpled mess in the corner crying because it just doesn't work like that. Life doesn't work. We need each other. But don't you offend me. Don't you get in my way. Don't you offend me. And in those moments, what are we feeling? We're really just feeling brittle. We're feeling bruised. We're feeling battered. And what do we really need? We need God's love to wash all over us. We need God's love to heal us. And God's here this morning. He wants to do that. He has seen our hearts, and he's speaking into our lives. Last definition, and then we're going to be done. Lacking warmth, depth, or generosity of spirit. Lacking warmth, depth, or generosity of spirit. Now, this is a deep one. This is the spiritual side of things. Lacking warmth, lacking depth, and generosity of spirit. Now, if I become like that, let's pose the question, do I start to become less of a Christian in a sense of in my actions? Because Christians are supposed to be the most compassionate people on the planet. We're supposed to be the most heartfelt people out there because we have God's love and we have him on the inside. But maybe you're here and you just want to be really honest this morning. I feel like that. I'm lacking compassion. I'm lacking any empathy for anyone. I'm just so brittle right now. I just need it all for me. I just need it all for me. God is here this morning. He sees every place that we're in. He sees every reality, and he wants us to deal with it, and he wants to help us. Because if we don't, we move so far past it that we get to a place of, is God even real? Is God even real? Then God gets the blame for everything. I don't need this life anymore. I'm just going to live whatever way I want. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Let me finish with one story. We are a highly valued target. I was listening to something this week, and he was saying about how the enemy is very, very patient. Did you know that the devil is very patient? He is looking out. He is prowling around. It says in 1 Peter that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. This is what he does. He's going around like that. And all he wants to do is to find your weak point or exploit you. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for the moment when he sees you crying. He's looking for the tears. He's looking for the moments where you're just trying to keep it strong, keep it together. And he's looking to get you there. And he's looking to keep you there. For sure he's looking to keep you there. He sees us as a highly valued target. And he's looking to bring you down. He's looking to bring you down. But God is here this morning. And he sees you as a highly valued weapon. And he says, if I could get you back into my hands, if I could get you back in purity and holiness, heading the right direction, trusting me for everything, knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, suddenly you would take down the powers of the enemy. You take down the powers of darkness. You would be the person that someone needs when they're broken. You'd be the person that someone needs when they're doing good. You'd be the person that they need in all seasons. You would live like the way you're supposed to live. Instead of down low but up high, soaring with Christ on wings like eagles, renewing your strength, strengthening you in every season, bringing you through in every walk and in every life. We can look in the mirror from now to the day we die and say, I'm not good enough. Or we can let go of that lie and say that God is far greater than my thoughts or even my reality. God has called me for such a time as this. God has called me. God says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the devil's biggest weapon is deception. You're not good enough. You don't know enough. You haven't got what it takes. God says you've got what it takes because you've got me. You've got me. And so this morning, can we stand together? And we're going to pray with some of those heart issues. But as we pray for those heart issues, I'm going to believe that the Lord's going to ignite a flame and a passion in our hearts that we're not going to be the same again. Can we stand together? Come on, let's be bold. Let's stand together. And I want to pray that we're going to be passionate. We're going to be bold in our actions, bold in our words, bold in the ways that we go, bold in the places that we go to, that we're going to be shy no longer in the negative sense. You can be shy all you like, just be bold for God. But we're not going to be shy in terms of, I can't do this, I can't do that. We're going to break free. We're going to break free. So can we close our eyes this morning and pray? Lord, there are so many things that you want to do in our hearts today. There are so many things, Lord, that you want to break in our hearts today. Not to press us down, not to crush us, but to set us free. There are so many things, Lord, that are out there that are trying to get their hooks in me, and they're just trying to pull me down and just trying to destroy me. And Lord, even this morning, when I think of my life, and maybe the Lord's just going to reveal some things in their spirit, there are things that I've actively welcomed into my life that have actually diluted me and separated me from Jesus. There are things that I've said, there are thoughts that I've had, there are places I've been to, there are actions that I've taken that has actively separated me from my wholeness in Christ. And as a result, Lord, I stand before you, a person that should be whole in you, but I actually feel rejected. And God wants to speak to that today, and he wants to say, those are lies, and they're not truth. Because the word says, who the Son has set free is free indeed. And when God comes into our lives, he makes all things new. You're a new creation. The dead is gone. The alive is here. The past is forgotten. But the enemy wants to keep coming and telling you, but there's this, or you're going to have to search this way, or you're going to have to go that way. Right through from the beginning of the book, right to the end of the book, we saw men and women who took actions into their own hands when they thought God was too slow to move, when they thought things just weren't working out the way they should. And as a result, they reaped hardship, they reaped destruction in their lives, they reaped things that they should never have reaped. The principle of sowing and reaping always stands the same, whether in good or the bad. If we sow good seed, we reap good crop. If we sow bad seed, we still reap. But we reap a bad crop, a crop that's no good for us, a crop that was never meant to be. And God, I pray this morning you're coming just like a whisper, just like a still small voice. You're speaking to our lives and you're speaking to our hearts, Lord, and you're pinpointing the things that you want to pinpoint. Because maybe we're here today and we're brittle, Lord. Maybe we're here today, Lord, and I'm ready to snap because I just feel so much pressure on top of me. Maybe you're here today because, and you're feeling brittle because the enemy has fooled you with other things that you thought might be worth it, and they've turned out to be lies. And God's here today, and he says, I want to restore you, and I want to warm you up, and I want to reignite my life in you. I want to cause my passion to rise in you. I want to see your faith strengthened inside of you. And I want you to start to soar again and become that world changer that you were always destined to be. Maybe we've been there and we've lost it. God's going to bring us back. Maybe we've never been there because we never believed it. God wants to write our thinking today and say, that's who you are. Men and women that will do exploits for the kingdom of God. Guys, just as our eyes are closed today, I want us to respond because I think this is a message we need to respond to.